podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
124.
I like that. As prepped as last week.
We'll have to. But I did just check. How are you, Abdi? You're silent.
I'm good, thanks.
How are you, Mark? on your best behaviour.
Yeah.
He's been on his best behaviour.
I'm not. I'm just offended. No, he's been on. Trust me to touch the equipment,
bro.
you declined it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Tanny's not here, so she'll be joining us shortly. So. And that's disrespectful because that is labelled as my name. That is rude, bro.
It's because it's been played for you the most. Also, I feel like that one you have to kind of let it play out because it's a whole vibe. Anyway,
she'll be joining us shortly.
Abdi's been on his best behaviour recently. Have you noticed?
Yeah. What is it? I don't know.
I'm being nice to Mark, and all of a sudden he's suspicious of me.
Like the whole weekend, everyone was like, "All right, give the phone back to Abdi." No one believed you.
Yeah. What was going? No, I need an explanation now. What was going on? No, you was being too nice. Like there was something behind that.
Like, what do you want from us?
I can't win, can I?
No.
When I'm in a group and then I try, because so Tanny and Junior don't like to get involved in the back and forth banter that I like to get involved in. So most of the time I'm just sending shots at Mark, and then he gives me a little jab back in there, and then he has to apologise because Junior's also an Arsenal fan. So then I was just like, all right. So whenever I'm doing that, I'm a menace in the group. But now I'm being nice. All of a sudden, oh, who's got your phone?
Too nice though. Like,
yeah.
It was before the game, and usually you'd be like, all right, good luck, Mark. But it was like, Mark, I send you my heartfelt. Like, I give you all my energy for today. Like, it was proper. Yeah. Like, I just looked at it and I said, bro,
it's the evolution of my character. You know?
Wow, one day.
You know, like in wrestling, they're never good, it's bad guy forever. It's true. Yeah, and that's what they're saying.
And it's also from one event to the next.
Exactly.
Like they're a heel and then they're a face.
So yeah, I guess so, isn't it? Yeah.
The terminology, come on.
But people would cheer me all the time, innit?
Who?
The fans.
The fans, yeah.
Do you remember when he
you're still waiting for that DM support.
I was about to say, do you remember when he pleaded, guys, send in your support, and no one... We're still waiting.
Yeah, but they're mugs, innit?
So. All right, let's start with the FA Cup semi-finals. We'll start with the game on Saturday. The big game. That's the second time in a week. Liverpool versus Man City.
1 minute and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, one minute and 30. Yeah, cool. Thank you for that. You've got 10 minutes, but you're one later. So, just chat to me. Someone chat to me.
Right,
talk
Mark.
To me. Specifically, Abdi.
Another final. Can I just say, yeah? All right. I've been too nice in the group, yeah? This guy was acting like an animal in the group every time Liverpool scored a goal, yeah? What? And at me, oh, someone chat to me. No one chat to me. All of
to
this
be stuff. Fair, you've been calling him out all season. That's the first time Mark's actually been giddy.
All right. Liverpool were amazing in the first half, yeah? And then instead of him enjoying it, yeah, he's going, Abdi, chat to me. Am I a Man City fan?
No. Well, basically.
No, actually, we have message proof that you have said, I am a Man City fan.
At what point did I say that?
Bro, we'll get to that. We'll post screenshots. We'll evidence that.
Like, even you said, oh, I don't care about Arsenal. It's all about Man City. Hope Man City win it all. They can't win it all now, can they?
Hey. Game to game, my heart changes, isn't it?
So my heart changes.
No, but you're right, though. We played first half in particular was probably the best I've seen us play football this season. Mm. In terms of, not just in terms of the goals scored and literally how we blew away City, but the football that was played and also the pressing. It was old school.
Yeah.
It was kind of like our first 2 or 3 years under Klopp, where the main 18. Part of our game was press it, win it high up the field, and then do something with the ball once you've won it.
Can I ask you an honest question?
It was there on Saturday.
Does Konate have a magnet on his head?
It seems like it.
Bro, he's got 3-3 now, isn't it?
3-3, and these are not small games. There's two quarterfinals in the Champions League back-to-back and a semi-final of an FA Cup.
But I like how Klopp has managed the situation. Like, Konate didn't come in straight away. In the beginning of the season, he was using him sparingly. He wasn't putting him in all the big games and stuff like that. And you could just see Konate has grown into that Liverpool shirt. Like, he's just been fantastic.
Like you said, Klopp has managed it perfectly because Van Dijk is the best defender in the world. Matip has been the best defender in the Premier League this season, in my opinion. And then Konate, he's performing fantastically. And it doesn't seem like Konate is on the fringes someone like Joe Gomez is, for example. And
he's just a giant, isn't he? He's a behemoth.
When he runs, I feel like the ground is quaking.
Shaking, yeah.
It's like, wow. He runs with that heavy... Even when he was celebrating as well, I was like, oh my God, he's going to put a dent in the ground, bro.
But think about it, if you're an attacker and you look at Liverpool's defence and you see Konate and Van Dijk...
And Matip. And it's like you've got the towers, isn't it?
Like, it's just a joke. Like, I'm not winning any headers. Like, the best you can hope for is running through their legs.
I mean, it's not ironic that we've scored the most from corners and set pieces this season. By far, perfect delivery as well.
That helps.
Well, plus you've got players like Virg and Konate and Matip scored a couple this season off his head who will quite easily and often win the ball in the air.
I feel like this needs to be said because, like, obviously, there's been a few things about it in that I've seen on social media and stuff, but Fabinho is the best DM, and he doesn't get a lot of credit. Like, people talking, Declan Rice is the best DM in the league, blah, 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 can do this, can do that. No. Fabinho is the one. Like, he's just fantastic.
The only other DM in the Premier League that can chat to him is Rodri this season. So.
Yeah, I think it's fair to put those two on the same pedestal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Abdi knows, obviously, I've always screamed Fabinho, for me, is the number one DM in the league. Obviously, he's got a few years on Rodri, and I do think Rodri will come into that and make that his own. But for the next 2 or 3 years, I just can't see anyone. And just to make it clear that I'm not classing Kante as a DM no more. He's more of an eight for me, especially in that Chelsea system where they play two centre mids.
I honestly think Fabinho is better, especially as a DM as well. The only other DM in worldwide football I can chat to him is Casemiro, in my opinion. So those three, I think, are up there in terms of... physically... Those two are clear of Rodri. Rodri is a little bit less physical than them lot. So, but yeah, on the game though, Man City, I don't know. I've watched all of Man City's last 3 or 4 games, intensely as well, just watching at the level there are. Man City, I don't know what has happened in the last couple games, They look absolutely rattled, especially against Atletico Madrid, That second half against Atletico, absolutely pumped them, and Man City looked like, before they played us at the Emirates, they had 3 games in a week and we had a week off, and then Pep after the game, he goes, Arsenal were the better team, we just looked tired. And that's what Man City look like right now as well. Obviously, being tired, it looks like you against any team really you would struggle, but when you're playing against Liverpool and in the form you're in, you get blitzed like that in the first half. But Man City, they lost Walker and De Bruyne in midweek. Walker was a big loss because Walker's been in great form as well, especially, and he's been locking down everyone. And De Bruyne has been in insane form as well. But I just watched, I looked at the starting lineup, and Pep, I feel like it's not even to disparage Liverpool and take away from what they did at the weekend, because they were deserved winners. And even if the Man City put out their strongest team, they probably would have won the way they played. But the way Pep, I think Pep, where he looked at it and he thought, this is just one game I can afford to not win, because obviously you want to beat your rivals, but the way they looked tired in the second half, and then also he played Ruben Diaz was on the bench, De Bruyne was on the bench, Mahrez was on the bench, but he's been playing the likes of, he played Fernandinho, who in my opinion is not at the level anymore. Zinchenko, he's not it. They would probably need to recruit a left back.
Another one.
And Gabi Jesus, who knows, sometimes he's good, sometimes he's not. Grealish has been horrible this season, and in that first half, it was like he was saying he should have been wearing a shirt that said "You just threw 100 million in a bin," because bro, he couldn't find a single man.
But honestly, I don't you're talking there, and I really don't have any sympathy for Man City.
No, yeah,
at
exactly.
All. You've built this billion-pound squad, and then you're gonna talk about tiredness and blah blah. Nah, I'm not hearing it.
I do hear what you're saying, but again. It could have gone stronger. They had obviously a very tricky tie away at Atletico in the week, but you put those two starting 11s together and City's were still more expensive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And as Junior said, they put £1 billion into that team since Pep's been there, or maybe just before that.
For situations like this as well.
For situations like that, where, you know, if you're coming off the back of an away game in the Champions League, let's not forget we were off the back of, not as tricky, but in the league game, we were off the back of an away game in the Champions League.
But you also had a game, it's not like you had a rest in it, so.
Exactly.
But on Liverpool, though, that is, I know he's been in really, really good form for the most part of the season, but I think that's the best I've seen Thiago play. He was incredible.
I've lost, are you, not even to draw you out, but,
no, I've always said he's a good player, but I've been drawing him out for
you've been drawing him out for a long time.
Yeah, the thing is, I think
you started to believe your own words at one point.
Honestly, there's certain players that I will draw out, but obviously I know they're good. If I draw you out, for most of the time, it's out of love. So when I draw out Salah, I'm joking about Salah because obviously he's world class, isn't it? So when I draw out Thiago, I know he's world-class player. He just hasn't been performing at that level. This season, for the most part, technically, he's the perfect centre midfielder. But I mean, what I've been most impressed by him is he's taken on that Wijnaldum role in terms of the pressing and the tackling and his tackling, the slide tackles, bro. The amount of slide tackles he's been doing is kind of mad. Mm. And then obviously, he's adding the extra finesse on it in terms of the passing. He probably needs to stop doing the no look all the time, you know. He's bad for his neck, innit? So.
And to be honest, with Thiago, when he was at Bayern, he was playing in a double pivot with Kimmich. Mm-hmm. Come to Liverpool, you know, we play three in midfield rather than two. It's a completely different role, as you've just said, that left centre mid role where you needed to press and play football and get around and make challenges. And our right centre mid is slightly more ahead than our left centre mid. So our left centre mid drops in with Fabinho. That's why that partnership works so well. But I think it was more than just Thiago on Saturday. There was Trent in the first half, Diaz, Mane.
Mane was incredible.
Some unbelievable performances. And it just feels like it's all clicking for us.
And you know what?
Not that it hasn't clicked this season, because it really has. But in terms of performances, we've been picking up results as if they're just easy to come by, but now the performances have gone up another level. It's almost as if we're kind of into that final gear now, fifth gear, and we're really, the cogs are spinning, everything's working well,
everyone's fit.
It's even at the time we're recording this right now, it's Tuesday evening, a couple of hours before we play United, and I'm here thinking we could drop a 5 out of 10 tonight and still win that 3-0.
The thing is as well is a lot of people are questioning Mane, and that performance on Saturday needs to tell everyone, shut your mouth. He's
still at the level. And he's playing
incredible.
Even
his goal was brilliant. He's closing down. The one on Stefan as well. It's just he's outrageous.
That's what I mean about that pressing. It just felt we've never stopped pressing. We are top two in the league in terms of pressing machines, us and City. No question about it. But it just seems like there was an evolution to our game this season where pressing that high up the pitch and with that ferocity took a bit of a back step. But for this game in particular, for City at Wembley, it was there. It was evident, and we were pressing from the first minute. We weren't just pressing, you know, in the middle of the park. We were pressing high up. And obviously it paid off for the second goal, but there were so many moments before that where we caught them in possession in their third, put them under pressure and just kept pressure going.
It was the first time I've ever seen a Pep side look lost.
Yeah. I think what's happening with what happened, especially in this game, is now what Klopp did, he's looked at the Man City lineup. They obviously don't have the comfort of the likes of Laporte on the ball. They didn't have Walker, and they didn't have, obviously you don't have Edison. So the likes of Diaz and Mane and Salah. Pressed really high up.
And on that point, I actually think the only City player to come out with a semblance of credit from Saturday, and I know they conceded three, was Nathan Ake.
Yeah, Ake, yeah, exactly. He's actually been... I watched the game against Atletico, and he came on, and he really helped see it out, because he came on at left back after Walker got injured, so Cancelo moved to the right back. And then he was winning loads of headers. And I think Nathan Ake is actually a very good player. I don't know if Man City is a step too high for him, but he's actually a good player. He's a very honest, hardworking type player who's going to do the hard work when called upon. But he did get beasted in the air by Konate as well for the goal. So
I definitely think it's a step too high for him. It didn't work for him at Chelsea. I think Bournemouth I think he could have gone to like an Everton or something. Everton probably do with him this season.
I do think, like, especially now with Walker injured, we don't know how long he's going to be injured. I wouldn't play Zinchenko left back. I would just stick Ake in because I think he's the most, like, he seems like the more reliable of all the reserves. But just on Liverpool, every single time I watch him, he just blows me away. Luis Diaz, man. Liverpool have done it again and again and again.
Done it again. We've made two signings in the past, 18 months?
Yeah.
Diaz and Konate.
Konate, yeah.
And we don't miss. That's the beautiful thing about our recruitment system is that very rarely now in the past 5 years, can you name a player who's missed in terms of the signing and it not really working?
Not off the top of my head, no. It's even like the guys you do bring in that you might think they're not as good as the first team players, like Tsimikas, for example. He's obviously, he looks like he could start for most other teams in the Premier League. I don't know if would you say last 18 months? Well, I mean, the last one I'd say is probably Ox because I don't rate him. But Ox, I mean, but that was a while ago.
Back five years ago,
innit? Yeah. So I think I feel like with Konate, there was a little bit of a question mark about him before he came. But then it seems like Klopp is a player. Klopp is a manager who improves players as well. Like, you see guys just looking at the required level, even when they're not as.
Yeah, and you've got to remember, Konate is only 22.
Yeah.
And it's happened with Robertson, it happened with Fabinho, and it took 3 or 4 months for them to earn that trust from Klopp. Yeah. And obviously there was a lot of things going on in the background in training where Klopp was trying to develop them to play a certain type of style.
Yeah.
Evidently, that same thing's happened to Konate, and again, it's worked.
Yeah, but Klopp's a proper manager, isn't it? Let's be real. Like, if you're looking at a manager, a coach, someone who could get the best out of players, that's top level. He's elite. Like, he's one of the best, for me, that I've ever seen, like, do that. Like, you have, like, managers who are good at maybe one thing. Like, Zidane's, like, a proper, like, he could get the best out of you. But is he as good tactically? I don't know. Yet to be seen. But, like, Klopp and Pep are the type of manager that can improve you, but also, like, tactically, like, almost faultless at
times. I think the proof is in the pudding when, like, he turned up. And what Liverpool were like, now they're the elite of world football. And what's most impressive about Klopp is his style has worked in the toughest league in the world and on the continent as well. So, but then I think with the players as well, like, just he seems like the type of manager who he picks the right profile for his style. And even if they're not at first the right profile, they eventually will become the right profile for his style as well. So yeah, that's a perfect example is in Thiago. As well, you're just seeing as well. I have a difficult question for you though, innit? So, Mane has scored 3-3 now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go.
Diaz is one of.
Oh, I saw. I did see this on the.
It wasn't me. Instagram. It was a listener, innit? Diaz is fantastic, and he's been one of the most impressive players since he's joined, and Jota seems to pop up with goals all the time, innit? Jota, the slotter. Is he called, innit?
Listen, I'm gonna answer you before you even ask the question.
Is it time to drop Pyramid Pennant?
It's not.
Stop it.
It is absolutely not. Listen, our best front three is Salah, Mane, Diaz.
So Mane is a false nine outside of.
Listen, Mane coming into that position over the past couple of months has been a game changer for him as well as us. Because you've got to remember, first half of this season, he wasn't in the best of form.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, he admitted it himself. He said that's the worst season of football he's ever played in his career.
Mm-hmm.
So. There was something that needed to happen with Mane, and it's worked.
Bringing in Diaz,
a bit of competition. But it's not just that. I think getting into that nine role, you can actually get involved in the game more and impact the game more.
Mm-hmm. It seems like, it does seem like Salah's goals have dried up a little bit.
No, I know, but if you watch Liverpool as closely as you've watched,
thanks
City,
for joining us, by the way.
Then you'll see that everything about Salah's game. Is still this. The only thing that's missing at the moment is goals. He's not performing bad. You know, he's second top assister in the league. He's teeing up players. Mm-hmm. Mane against City in the league.
Yeah, quality.
He's coming close. He's just getting. He's very unlucky. But you don't drop Mo Salah. It's like me asking back when you were under Wenger, and we're talking what? Let's say 2004, your best season ever.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Henry went 6 games without scoring. Would you even entertain the thought of dropping?
Yeah, but I can't entertain the idea that he'd go 6 games without scoring.
Anyway, I just think.
But I get what you're saying. I'm just pose the question.
I do hear it. I'm just going to say one more thing, then bring you in, Junior. But it's basically just to reiterate the point that I made a second ago, is that the performances aren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you expect goals with Mo Salah, and everyone expects goals because that's what he burst onto the scene with Liverpool doing, the first season that took everyone by surprise, mm-hmm. and then he just carried it on and on and on. But not a single chance. There's no chance he gets dropped. Yeah, might get a little rest tonight. I don't know, and come on
not
with 30 to go.
Not against Man United, no.
Well, we've got games literally every 3 days. That's why with our squad being so strong, we can start to rest players here and there.
I do think he's a victim of his own success. Like Mark was just saying, like the amount of goals that we've seen him score, and then if he goes a couple games without scoring, you're like, oh, you know. But he's still. Like, I don't think you can even entertain the idea.
The only reason I posed the question is because the ones behind him are performing as well, isn't it? So
yeah, of course. I hear
they
that.
All are. I think that, like, Mark said it a bit ago, like, they're all hitting form. Like, Liverpool are just starting to purr. Like, and you think, like, April, May is the stretch of the season mm-hmm. where you need this to happen, and typically the best players do it, and, like, Liverpool are doing it now. So.
And just because it's come at the end of the season, you've got to remember at the start of the season, KDB stunk it up for the first half of the season. Let's be honest. Harry Kane, Heung-Min Song. Mm. Every big player this season, Messi at PSG,
yeah.
Ronaldo in patches at United, Aubameyang at Arsenal. Players stink it up for small. You can't expect excellence for a full season.
No, it's impossible.
It's impossible. And all of the big players will have moments like this. And I think it will be a testament of his character when he comes back and he keeps scoring goals. And I think there's a couple of important goals for him left in this season.
Okay, but what about when he's holding bench for Fabio Cavalli next season?
My God.
Oh, you're really clutching now.
So that was the first semi, so Liverpool. And then, as you might know, Chelsea secured their place in the final against Crystal Palace.
I had to watch that with Ardian.
That's your fault.
I was very disappointed with Vieira. Obviously,
he didn't go for it, did
he? It was very unlucky that, you know, you get to a semi-final in your first season. It's Crystal Palace, they rarely get to semi-finals. And then your best player this season is ineligible. He's not allowed to play.
So
it was obviously a harsh on Conor Gallagher. But I feel like people criticising Tuchel are just... Their heads are in the clouds, because how stupid would it be if Tuchel allowed Conor Gallagher to play?
See, I was arguing with Ardian about this, and I think it's wrong that he...
No, how stupid would Tuchel look if Conor Gallagher scored?
I do think it's an archaic rule where you can't face your parent club, but it's a rule and clubs can exercise it.
No, I think you're stupid for you to send a player out on loan to get experience and then they come back and bite you. That's so stupid. Why the hell would you make them eligible to play against you when they can possibly hurt you?
Fair, but I just think, like, it's a semi-final.
But it doesn't matter. That's what happens. It's the games. Tuchel was 100% right.
And I hear you, because you've got to think, when Palace made that signing, they would have known full well he can't play against Chelsea this season. In the league in particular. And then if they make it,
it's unfortunate for him, but, like, it's not... I remember one time, do you remember when Portsmouth went to the semi-final and they were playing Tottenham? And Jamie O'Hara was on loan from Tottenham to Portsmouth.
Right. Wow.
And then, Harry Redknapp was... Yeah, but he was Portsmouth's best player at that point. And they were going to get relegated that year. So he said, oh, it won't do any good for the lad to play against his heads will be all over the place and all that stuff. Obviously, he's capping. He's like, how stupid am I going to look if he scores against us and they're bottom of the league, innit? So it's the same situation. Tuchel, we have to do that.
No, yeah, of course.
Like I said, I was disappointed with Vieira, because obviously, like, they're not going to get majority of the ball against Chelsea. They're not going to get a lot of opportunities in the final third against that defence and that quality of player. But what I was annoyed about is that Mateta, he's obviously not going to get much tune out of Rudiger one-on-one, because obviously Mateta's a physical player. So when he changed it up, I thought, okay, cool, you've got Benteke on the bench, you've got Edouard on the bench. And then he took off Mateta and brought on Ayew, and put Ayew on the right, and then he played Zaha false nine. And then they didn't touch the ball for the rest of the game. Zaha literally didn't touch the ball for the rest of the game. So that's why I was annoyed, because I thought, you've got a different option where you can go long with Benteke. He's going to win everything in the end. He's going to compete against Rudiger. That's going to be a proper match in terms of in the air. And then obviously you could have done something else with a little bit more of a quicker player with Edouard. And you could try and play it in behind and all that, and him trying to, like, force it. But then he changes it, and I was just like, oh no. And then you've got Eze as well. Eze's not really been the same Eze was last year. With Elise on the bench, I'm thinking, all right, cool, you've gone 1-0 down. You could have brought Elise on the bench, because Elise, the only chance they had was when Anderson missed from a yard.
Yeah.
that was from Elise's corner, because Elise's got quality delivery. I was thinking Eze is better for me behind the striker rather than on the wing. So I'm thinking you bring on Elise, you bring Eze in behind, Benteke or Edouard down the middle, and then you and then Zaha, you can play him in his natural position, go one-on-one, because he was troubling Christensen at times as well. So I'm just like, I was a bit disappointed with Vieira as well. But then when Chelsea got the first goal, I thought that was just the end of the game, wasn't it? So
I just think like sometimes like managers will overthink it in those situations. Like he saw that it wasn't working with Mateta, so he thought like, why am I going to bring on the exact like same type of player when I can bring on Ayew, who, for whatever you think that Ayew is, he is a hard worker for that team, and he will just run his like socks off literally to help Vieira's cause or whatever. And it's worked for him this season. Like we saw them get a 0-0 against Man City. We saw them destroy Arsenal. And anyway, like it has worked for them. It's just unfortunately flat against Chelsea.
I didn't like the fact. I would have definitely not played one of MacArthur or Schlupp, because they played with both of them in midfield with Kouyaté. And then the way they were setting up, it looked like Kouyaté was dropping in the right back position, which allowed Ward to go high up. And I generally don't think Ward is any good at all. I'd have probably played Klein instead. And then, so Chelsea deserved to win.
But also, let's praise Chelsea. Like, they snuffed out Palace. They made it difficult for them. They didn't really have, like, enough of a chance.
It was a big snooze test.
It is boring. It is boring, but obviously
they're in the final.
This is their third FA Cup final in a row.
Yeah.
Like if they
should just get out.
Get out flipping mortgage at Wembley, bro.
Mark,
let's go Wembley every year, bro.
You need to batter them in the final.
Mark, you don't need to be the one anomaly here. They need to lose three times in a row.
Because I'm telling you, Arjen was so arrogant. He was like, "Oh, we're gonna beat Liverpool anyway." I was like, "You're not beating Liverpool." Like he's like, "No, we're gonna beat them. We should have won anyway." I was like, "Yeah, should have, could have, would have. You didn't win, did you?" Like,
it's football, isn't it?
Oh my god!
Yeah, the only reason they lost here is because of Kepa.
Because
that game was very, very tight. Literally, both teams really had tight. Lots of opportunities.
Even the penalties like all the way to 11, bro.
But I feel like Tuchel. Yeah, I get it. He's worked before, but Mendy was having the game of his life.
Yeah.
And then he took him off.
That
and
was
then
stupid.
Kepa didn't save a single penalty, and then took a goal kick basically. So I feel like Chelsea is just ridiculous. I mean, like their fans are probably bankrupt from the amount of Wembley tickets they purchased over the years, isn't it? It's a joke.
But so, also, like, shout out to Ruben Loftus.
Quality goal.
He was good when he came on.
To score. He hasn't scored in what, 3 years or something like that?
For Chelsea?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been out online a couple of times, isn't it? So.
When was his last goal for anyone?
I don't know, bro.
Exactly.
So, yeah, good for him.
And to get it at Wembley.
Probably when he was
at
Crystal Palace, his last goal.
And to get it at Wembley as well. Like,
yeah. I just think Tuchel's done a great job. Like I said, how many finals is it with just him alone?
It's true.
Yeah, you got the Champions League final last year, League Cup final this year, FA Cup final this year, FA Cup final last year.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Obviously, they finished fourth in the league last year, and that is not good enough. So,
yeah.
And they're going to most likely finish third again this year.
Yeah. They should have been in the semi-final, though.
But we do have to say it's like third in the league this year, but with an asterisk, like not even close to second. Like
yeah,
not
exactly,
even challenging considering the amount of money that you spend.
This year is
like
definitely a failure for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, even if they win the FA Cup.
I honestly don't think they will.
Yeah, you never know.
They're not winning.
Two quality teams coming up against each other.
Two quality managers as well.
Two quality managers, as it was on Saturday with us and City. I honestly just think I won't dispute that. But on the day, even team could win. Chelsea have enough quality to beat any team.
Right.
They do. Yeah.
The team that has troubled Liverpool the most this season, is Chelsea. Because in normal time and even in extra time, Liverpool haven't beaten them. There's been two draws in the league.
True.
And obviously you went to extra time and they lost on pens in the Carabao Cup as well.
Still, beating them on pens is still a victory.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it was Kepa, but still. Yeah. Literally, everyone scored their penalty apart from him. So he's solely down. He's the reason Chelsea lost.
Just remember, Kelleher stuck his in the top corner, isn't it?
That's true, yeah.
That was
an elite
before we're pinning it on. Why don't we give the success to Kelleher rather than...
I mean, Kelleher didn't save any penalties.
Don't worry about
Kepa, but he psyched out.
He looked at
Kepa. He looked at Kepa and was like, "You're going to miss this."
Yeah. And don't have an evil eye.
Let's not remember Kepa standing literally in the corner for Virgil's penalty.
Oh yeah,
that was ridiculous.
Virgil smashed it in his corner. But I want to give some praise to Chelsea against Real Madrid because that was a fantastic performance,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
The way they went to 13-time Champions League winners, team who, you know, have the best striker in Europe at present, and the way they took him apart over it, and probably should have won in normal time as well. It only took a complete moment of magic from Modric for them to get to extra
what
time.
What a pass!
I think that's the best in terms of a direct assist that I've seen in years, years and years. Like the pass was perfect, and I just think that made it even more unlucky for Chelsea because it wasn't even like a. Madrid didn't even deserve. It was just a couple of moments that Madrid had in the game that they took. But Chelsea 3-0 up, cruising, admittedly playing really well. In fact, probably the best I've seen them play this season.
So much sweeter though. They did all the hard work and still lost.
Did you see Rudiger full time?
Yeah.
He just ripped out a pit of the grass and ate it. He's so angry. No, he's
man,
punching the ground.
36-year-old Modric, man, he's still doing magic.
He's a fossil and he's still a goat.
But don't you think, like, when you watch Chelsea, majority of the time, 95% of the time, I'm going to be honest, I watch Chelsea and they're so boring.
They don't play like that.
But against Madrid, you're going away to an iconic stadium and they just switched it on. And it was like, where has this... I know Chelsea are used to winning trophies over the past 10 years, but where has that performance level been?
It's true, it's true. They, like, honestly, they smashed them. Like, they
quite scary, really.
Kovacic, what a player.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I think the reason why they played like that is because they had nothing to lose. Whereas I think Tuchel goes into the game saying, like, we're going to dictate how many goals we're going to score and we're not going to let any go in. So I think most times they're aiming for the 1-0 and solid defensive display. But against Real Madrid, when you're 3-1 down, you can't do that. Like
Tuchel's probably thinking, oh, we would have been in the semi-final if Mendy didn't do that at the beginning of the second half, first
half. Yeah,
it's
true.
So it's just, again, obviously Benzema was essentially the person who decided the tie. But I mean, it'll be interesting watching them against Man City because Real Madrid, like, there are gaps in what I like in terms of like where they could be really strong, because Ancelotti, one thing I always notice about Ancelotti is he gets the best out of his strikers. You look at his whole career, I mean, Crespo, Inzaghi, of all the players, you start with that one, isn't it? Calvert-Lewin had his best goal scoring season under Ancelotti, isn't it? So, and then you've got Drogba, you've got Shevchenko, you've got Cavani, Ibrahimovic, like Lewandowski bagged loads of goals, and now you've got Benzema as well, isn't it? Ronaldo and Bale had their best goal scoring seasons under Ancelotti. So, but I do look at it, he doesn't really, although like that's a legendary midfield three, Casemiro, Modric, Cruz, yeah? But every single time they've been coming from behind in these games, yeah, is when they remove one of those and bring in Camavinga.
Yeah, he's
and you see the importance of playing Valverde as the right winger.
Yep.
You've got those two ready-made replacements for the future, and they're probably going to get in Tchouaméni next. And then that's how you replace a midfield three. But it's difficult for him because how can you replace the legendary midfield three who's given them so much success? But sometimes I think, like, do you not really notice the quality you have in your squad? Like, why is Camavinga coming in for like 2-3 minutes every now and then, or like 20 minutes? He should be starting more games. And then Cruz, came off, bruv.
He was angry.
But I think he will. I think it's that thing about managing, like, Camavinga's 18.
Yeah,
like,
it's a big game.
We just had this conversation about Konate and why it works so well, not chucking him in at the deep end straight away.
Camavinga's deciding, he's making big differences when he comes.
Is that because he's being given 20 minutes at the end where he's been able to watch the game and understand, right, I can come on and make an impact.
I think he's ready to start. I think he could start for most teams.
But who are you really taking out Cruz or Modric?
I'll take out Cruz, yeah. Because I think
a game of that magnitude, chucking 18-year-old Camavinga.
He's not 18. He's 19. But even then, his age to me doesn't make a difference. Like, his age to me, like, that's what I always say. Like, when there are quality young players, like, who are, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Listen, I don't dispute that at all. If you're good enough, you're old enough. But I think
no one was questioning Trent's age when he first came in.
Of course, but I don't think Camavinga, when he signed for Madrid, signed because he'd be a permanent starter in his first year there.
Okay.
And what we're saying is not because Camavinga's 18 that we're like, oh, he can't play. It's more so managing the expectation. Like, for example, an 18-year-old playing for Real Madrid where the expectation is so high. Imagine you have a stinker and they start booing you. And then it's uphill from there. We've seen it happen at Barcelona.
I've seen a reaction from Real Madrid players. They want Real Madrid fans. They want Camavinga to start in games.
Well, I'm just giving you Pedro, man. I'm giving you a for instance. Can you not just accept it?
Yeah, but for instance as well, that doesn't achieve anything.
Yeah, but Camavinga's not starting. It's not achieving anything. No, but it's hypothetical.
Ancelotti should start. He came out and had this conversation with journalists and said there are certain elements of his game that I need and want to improve before he comes a permanent starter for me. So he's had this conversation with journalists, and that conversation has been had.
I'm only making the point because when Cruz is playing, his performances aren't at the required level anymore.
He got
outplayed by Chelsea. Real Madrid only really.
I hear
got
that,
back
but,
in the
but
game
would you rather? Would you rather start Camavinga, and if you need to change the game, bring Kroos on for 20 minutes, or the other way around?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Let me text Carlo.
I think you'd want your younger, fresher legs to come on when you need a goal to get around that pitch. Kroos isn't going to come on for the final 20 and stop.
Yeah. Okay, going back to Chelsea. So we've got a question in from one of the listeners. After a revival week, does Ruben Loftus-Cheek have an outside chance of going to Qatar?
No.
I think you need more than a revival week.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
A week's not enough to get you to the World Cup.
Yeah, I think with Ruben, it's more about I don't know what's in his head. I don't know what's in his head, but for me, it seems that's probably where he lacks. Because if you look at his attributes, he's got the perfect attributes for us.
Oh, yeah, he's got great attributes, yeah.
I'm not talking about his looks. I'm talking about he's physical, he's good technically,
yeah.
And he's stop it, Tanya.
He's big, he's strong.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it? So, what's wrong with you, man? Go away. Go lie down. But yeah, I don't think the thing is, he's not going to get into Chelsea's team. Like, first choice, everyone fit, he doesn't start for Chelsea. Yeah. Because in Tuchel's eyes, isn't it?
And then you've got Conor Gallagher coming back and stuff like that, so it becomes really difficult.
It's probably best for him to just move in.
I don't think he's done himself any harm.
Permanent move.
No, absolutely.
But I think that England squad's a bit of a stretch. When you consider who and
options,
what we've got at our disposal, a lot
it's
of players have been in form for longer than a week.
Yep.
But I do. But in the same sense,
so whoever DM'd that, shut your mouth for months.
No. In the same sense, let me finish my sentence. In the same sense, I do think he's a quality player and. Yeah. Now that he's fit and making a bit more of an impact at Chelsea than he has for a long time, let's not forget, is he 27 now?
Yeah, he's not a young player.
He's not a young player anymore, so these types of performances should be the minimum requirement from him anyway. It's now about kind of nailing down a starting spot, holding that starting spot, and then we can start to chat about England.
But there'll be loads of Prem clubs, or even like other European clubs,
you reckon?
That will want Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I think there will be. If Ruben Loftus-Cheek is to leave Chelsea this summer, I think there'll be a number of clubs.
There'll be lots of suitors.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if I thought, if Bellingham moves, he just replace him.
That's not a bad shout. Not a bad shout.
Where do you see Bellingham going?
Say it.
I'm not saying Arsenal because...
No.
He wants you to say Liverpool.
Oh, what? To Liverpool?
I honestly believe...
I think we will sign
one of Bellingham or Tchouaméni. I think that's what I
think.
Tchouaméni
is pretty much guaranteed to go Real Madrid.
I don't know about that.
If Liverpool win everything, why wouldn't he choose to go Liverpool?
Because Milner's off this summer.
Yeah.
Ox will be off this summer.
Okay,
There's space there, and we will bring in another centre mid.
Fabinho, Thiago,
I don't know.
Bellingham, is that what you're saying?
That's a great midfielder.
Oh my God! Please no.
Addy's sweating, bro.
When I think about Liverpool, like I'm like, this is why, like at the beginning of the season, where you were defending, and even parts of last season as well, where you're defending. I know it's your team, but when you're defending these players that aren't at the required level, like
Ox.
Milner's not at the required level anymore. He's been a great servant for Liverpool, but he's not at the required level, and Ox has never been for me.
Yeah, but
guys like last year when you were defending Nat Phillips and Reece Williams, I'm like, these aren't Liverpool level. Liverpool level is this high.
Defending's a bit mad, but you got to remember, those two, we're in a semi-final right now, and a large chunk of the reasoning for that is those two.
Reece Williams and Nat Phillips.
You can laugh at that, but the fact is...
I think
it
says more about the state of the league.
He says, no, I don't know about that. It just meant that we could... Because you got to remember, we were playing Henderson and Fabinho at centre-back for a large portion of last season. And then it got to a point where it was like, we can't keep these guys out of the midfield. We're getting overrun in every department. So what have we got?
I hear that, but the point I'm making is that I don't draw out Van Dijk. I do, but obviously not seriously. I don't draw out the guys who are at the level, because Liverpool level isn't a normal level. It is the highest high. Like, the listeners can't see, but I've got my hands high right now. So that's Liverpool level. So that's why I don't get, earlier in the season when you were defending Ox, and I was like, of all the people to defend Thiago, players who actually have a track record of being good. You know, like, not a guy who's been...
I defended Thiago today, who were back when he was drawing him out. No, but I think the thing is, yes, like, your hand was high, and I think that's for like 15 players in that Liverpool squad. And then you've got the rest who are still valuable players and have the quality, not as much quality, but have the quality to step in when needed.
All right, Ox is a complete, like, he has to be a write-off for this summer.
I think he's only got a year left on his deal, so I think we'll do it this summer because we can make some money off of him. Obviously, Milner's contract's done.
Milner started ahead of him against Benfica, isn't it? That's mad.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Great. Let's talk about Premier League now.
That's not, I know.
Let's start with Spurs, because that was the first game of the
week. Do you know what I was sitting here thinking, week for everyone, right? I was just thinking, Mark must be sat here thinking, why am I here with these peasants?
No, he loves it.
Like,
he absolutely...
He's
since
just
the start,
got a team that just wins game after game. Since the start of the podcast... And then there's us three.
Speak for yourself, I ain't peasant.
Since the start of the podcast, Mark comes in every week knowing his team has won and ours has lost.
Not last season. No, but last season. You know when we lost six home games on a trot?
But none of us were smiling.
I was here every week.
But none of us were smiling.
I was here, innit?
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I was here.
Yeah, but Mark, we were still crap. I want you to come here after 6 weeks of losses and we're smiling and see what you say.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a support group last year.
It fully was. It fully was.
Right, so Spurs had the chance to go 6 points clear of Arsenal.
Yes, we did.
And against the team that beat Arsenal last week. And so Brighton.
Yep.
Well, let me hear you chat about Kulusevski and Bentancur now.
Right. Let's just relax on that one.
No, but tell us, like, what you were thinking. Like, did you see this as a prime opportunity, or were you nervous? What were
hand
your thoughts?
Hand on my heart, I'm not even kidding you, right? I knew we wasn't winning this.
You'll be all pessimistic.
And right? I tell you why. Because as good as we've been, right, we've been scoring a lot of goals, this was the game we had to win. We had to win this game. And I just knew we wouldn't turn up for the occasion. That's exactly what happened. I thought they would come out confident, all guns blazing, you're at home. It was all too perfect. The sun was out. I thought, nah, do you know what? We're
some
not going to win this.
Some conspiracy theorist
here. Moving like time, bro. What did you say before?
We have. It's been raining, isn't it?
And it's like, we turn up for
like the sun wasn't out for Brighton as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Ha, ha. Like, we turn up, right? And, well, we don't turn up. We start the game. We look so lethargic. Like, I was honestly surprised. I was thinking, why are we not interested in this game? We had no sort of desire. Brighton's game plan, I have to say, Graham Potter, I think he outclassed Conte in this game. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, he just had a game plan. It was spot on. Bissouma was unbelievable. Kane couldn't get into the game. Son couldn't get into the game. Thought Mepu was playing decent.
He's a good player.
He's a very good player. Cucurella causing us problems.
Well, he's been playing left centre back as well.
I need to sign for Arsenal, innit?
Honestly.
You're actually wearing, like,
you do.
The away kit colour, innit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
No, I definitely need
you
to
look
sign
like
for
Cucurella a lot today.
Imagine, like, obviously Tini being injured. Sorry, we will get back to Spurs.
No.
Imagine Tini getting injured and having Cucurella, or like.
Cucurella is too good to be a backup, man.
I would love Cucurella because our wing backs, yeah, if we want to call them that.
Yeah, he would actually fit into that system very well.
I'm
going to
say this now. I think I'm overrated Reguilón, but I think our fan base overrated. He is crap.
Regular Don, we said it like 15, 20 episodes ago. Longer.
Shit. Like, how can we? It's so Spursy, right? We get two wing backs from Real Madrid and Barcelona, and they are awful. That would only be Spurs.
Buying stuff from Real Madrid and Barcelona isn't always
you gotta
guaranteed.
Remember they couldn't wait to get rid of them. Like, it's Reguilon, not as if they were like, don't go.
They
like.
Reguilón, they allowed him to go to Tottenham.
Honestly,
basically, so
I'd rather Aurier
instead of the buyback clause, isn't it?
I'd rather Aurier instead of Emerson. Like, they don't even want to pass to him because they just know he can't do anything.
It's
like,
evident they don't want to pass to him.
They don't want to pass to him. But anyway, it's not about the wing backs. I just think Brighton, they just stopped everything that we was trying to do, and we didn't have any answers.
But wouldn't you say that, like, could you say that you were surprised? Because all the games leading up to this game, you were outscoring your position. You were scoring goals for fun. You weren't conceding many. I'd say that I was more of a blip.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say. I genuinely think it was a blip from Tottenham.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to be concerned about.
No, but the thing that annoyed me is that I get you can't win every game. And it goes back to the argument we were talking about, you know, goal scorers. They can't score every game. It's the same with your teams. Like, you can't expect them to be good every single game. But at least try for a draw. Like, I just hated the fact that we lost. I would have accepted a draw. And I would have been like, do you know what? It's a little bit of a blip.
I was surprised.
Mm. You know, it was so late on as well that the Brighton goal, that it was hard for you to react and bounce back from.
Do you know how many goals they scored late on? Just as a team, Brighton.
So annoying.
Well, Tanya, I'm interested on what your thoughts are on Harry Kane going out to the Masters in America.
Yeah, not happy about that.
What, before?
Not happy.
Before the Brighton game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he went.
When did
he
get back? It wasn't even like there was a break in the season or anything.
When did he get back?
God, that's a good question. I don't know when he got back. But
he probably looked like Conte is like a day to drop me in it.
Well, the club must have given him permission.
And then, of course, he would have got permission.
He is your football club. You can't dare to do
so. Even so, I just think.
You've just
got yourself into a position where top four is in your hands.
Yeah.
And I understand the Masters is a big thing, and he's a golf fan.
Yeah.
But I felt like that was the wrong timing.
No, absolutely. Don't agree
with
it.
That's crazy. I never knew about that.
And some Spurs fans were like, oh, how are you, you know, going on about that? That's not the reason why we lost. But still, like, it's a bit unprofessional, I think
the issue is...
Because if it was anybody else, if it was, you know, Pogba's of this, people would be going mad. Yeah,
you're right.
Where is
you're
the Masters? Right.
America.
In America, yeah.
See, if it was in the UK, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. But flying out in between games...
I think it's very unprofessional.
No, it is. Honestly, I'm surprised it's not...
In the business end, like, where the season... Where is all won and lost. Everything's won and lost in these last couple of months.
He's definitely friends.
And to be honest, I don't know why, but he got a bit of a knock in that game, and he was limping for a bit.
He's close
to getting injured. I'm calling it now. I actually think what will happen is he'll get injured before the derby, and then he'll be fit for the derby.
You're going to get bear abuse on Twitter now.
No, I can see it. that little knock he had when Kane gets a little knock on his ankle. I just feel like he's always sluggish the next game because he's like he's scared to get knocked. And then the people are going to target it now. I'm telling you now, I think he's going to get injured. But let's hope he doesn't.
Who's your next Trossard?
Brentford.
Trossard made Dyer look like a pretzel, bruv.
Oh, do you know what? It's so annoying because I don't want to say that Dyer hasn't been good. He's good this season.
His passing was horrible.
He has. Like, but it's again,
only,
he's
it was
a
only
player
one
that,
moment, though. It was
yeah,
one
no,
moment.
No, no, in that game, he was probably again, really bad.
The whole team was.
Yeah. It just shows you he's still not good enough, though, is he?
Yeah, it's fair.
That's the bigger picture of it. Mm-hmm. We need to replace him. But
so the shouts of him coming back in the England team were a bit premature from people, innit?
Probably, yeah. Probably. And I include myself in that. But I want to also criticise Conte. I think at times he's a little bit stubborn. Mm. I think at least try something different. Like, Brighton were killing us in the midfield. I don't know, maybe switch it up to a 4-3-3. Why not?
I don't understand.
This is the thing. I was going to say that Winks. We don't also have the tools to adapt either and change things up because he bought on Winks. And obviously...
You were raging.
I was, but then I realised Bentancur was on yellow.
Yeah.
And I think... And I don't he's know not if good he got, as well. Don't start. Kulusevski, I will say, very lucky to still be on the pitch.
Yeah.
If Cucurella actually went down, I think he would have been...
To be honest, it shouldn't have taken for him to go down. The intent was there. And I'll be real, like, this wasn't... This was... Forceful, like
if
that actually
that
connected,
was...
we're looking at like.
I know.
I'm not looking to go overboard, but you could have been looking at a broken draw or something. Yeah. There was a vim.
I'd have been rolling. Yeah.
I was
like
not
a
happy.
Flipping down the hill, bro.
I know you. You definitely.
No, but I kept it professional.
I'm screaming as well.
But it's just crazy. That's why I keep saying to you guys, like, you've been stressed recently, but things can change so quickly. Look at
But in the end, your defeat didn't really prove that costly.
I mean,
the only thing is that it brings Man United back into it.
Now, imagine if we won that game. Can you imagine how valuable that would have been?
Don't worry, Arsenal aren't catching you.
I don't actually think you can say it didn't prove that costly because actually, when your rivals drop points, that's when you want.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
When you want
how
to pick
that
up the 3 points.
Drop points. I was fuming.
And then you could have bet money that Arsenal were going to drop points, which leads us to the next game, which was Arsenal versus Southampton. I said it to Mark last week. Mark came saying, "Junior, you can't be negative."
Why? What did you say to Mark last week?
That we were going to lose against Southampton.
No, I said I drew him out.
Wait,
I drew him out.
That?
I said
I did say
I
that.
I actually
you
said,
did.
And to be fair to him, you said it, and then I think it was about an hour before the game, might have been longer. I said, "Junior, bruv, stop being so negative," and you was like, "I'm telling you," and I'm going to be honest, you were right. But what?
So you're pessimistic as well?
No, I'm not pessimistic. I'm looking at the situation.
I know you just lost two on the bounce, but
three.
Before Southampton. But discard those two games.
Yeah.
What brought on your pessimism for this particular game?
We've lost two major pieces in our team.
Partey in particular, which I think is the glue of our team and goes a bit unnoticed. Like, yeah, he might have a bad game, but what he does is he kind of just gels the midfield.
It hasn't even been gone unnoticed, didn't it?
Allows us to turn defence into attack in like one or two passes. Like, he is so pivotal for how we play football that it's unreal when you look at who can come in and replace him, and it's nobody because he's so important. And then Tierney on the left, it's just like, so losing that, okay, firstly losing that, and then you have a striker who is afraid to shoot.
Is he a striker?
He's allergic to shoot. I don't know, like,
102 players have more non-penalty goals per night.
102.
You saw the thread, yeah? Where it was just five names in the first tweet, and then it went off for ages.
So it's not even me being pessimistic. It's me just looking at the situation and being realistic. Like, we've lost our last two games. We're going away to a Southampton team who
lost 6-0.
Yeah, they did just lose 6-0. But when I said that we struggle against them, Abdi said, "Oh, but we've won the last five in the league."
No, we haven't lost in the last six
again. Yeah, whatever. But what I was saying is not so much that we struggle and lose, is that we struggle to play them against them, like, especially at St. Mary's. Like, it proves a tough ground for us to go to. And lo and behold, we go to St. Mary's, and I think the pressure has got to some of the players, the youngsters, and I don't know if that's a good enough excuse. I know Arteta has to hold massive blame, but I do think that it's on some of the players as well, because in moments like that, you turn up and they don't turn up. I know Lacazette was dropped, mm-hmm. And then Nketiah came in.
Yeah, COVID.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, yeah. Okay, that's the only reason why he probably was dropped. But Nketiah came in and it's just the same, you know?
Yeah,
it's just like for like.
You guys just not so bored? It's the same thing every season with Arsenal now. Like, what? Something's got to give. I don't know what it is.
I know what's got to give.
Well, what is that?
Arteta. The manager.
Yeah.
No, listen,
how about you give your resignation?
I'm not trying to hear that from you.
No. Honestly, I've kept quiet for a little bit, but the weekend I was so angry that, like, even now, just think while Junior was talking, the anger just coming back into my brain. It's like I went for a walk and I was just muttering to myself after the game because I was just so angry. Like, bro, when Junior talks about the players, and I know what the point he's making, but generally when people say, "Oh, it's on the players, that bollocks doesn't wash with me because at the end of the day, the buck stops with the manager. One, I don't blame Lokonga and Tavares and Lacazette and Nketiah because they're not good enough. Like,
no, that's not what
they
I'm saying.
No, I know what you're saying, but just let me finish. They can't help that they're shit. So why it's a player identification issue. I know you're talking about pressure. That's what you're saying, and also you're talking about the pressure in relation to our good players.
Yeah, that's why I didn't mention Lokonga or Tavares or anything like that.
The key areas where, like you mentioned, with Partey and Tierney and Tomiyasu, don't even get me started on Cedric. Cedric, I've said it before, he's the worst player in the world. Like, there's nothing good about him. Like, it's bad enough. But the reason I say it box starts with Arteta is because there's so many like red flags with Arteta's tenure at Arsenal. And so, like, when you said, "Yeah, I don't want to hear about Arteta." Early when we were doing well, I was fair with Arteta. I've always been fair with Arteta. I gave him praise when he first came because I thought what he was different to what he is. And when we were winning, I gave credit to him. But the reason I'm saying I have less sympathy is because the reason we're struggling now is a direct result of Arteta's actions. The recruitment. The replacement for our injury-prone players in Partey and Tierney are not good enough. So he made the decision to bring those guys in. And I ain't trying to hear about all of these young players because there are good young players. Like, for example, no one chats about Trent being a young player when he first came in because he's got the required quality. No one chats about Jacob Ramsey being a young player because he's got the required quality. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in world football as well. You look at the likes of Camavinga and obviously at a higher level Mbappe. You don't chat about a young player if they're good enough. No one chats about their age. So I ain't trying to hear that stuff. But when you talk about Arteta's decisions, loaning out Maitland-Niles and you keep Cedric. That doesn't make sense to me. And I know, obviously, Maitland-Niles, he probably had dreams of being a centre midfielder, but he's a, you know, if they told him stay and play as a right back, he would play. He just wants to play, in my opinion. He's gone Roma and his only games are as a right back.
Guendouzi was a big one as well.
Guendouzi, I've never really rated him, but still, Guendouzi, if I'm choosing Guendouzi and Lokonga, I'm choosing Guendouzi.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, at the end of the day, like, if you look at statistics wise, and I don't like to analyze football that way because football's played in a football pitch and not in a tweet or in a website. So when you look at statistics wise, yeah, no other manager has been allowed this many, this much failure. When you look at the league position, when you look at the amount of goals we've not scored, considering we're Arsenal Football Club, who is known for attacking football and a style of play that is attractive, and goals, even under Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger, we were failing badly because we couldn't control games, we couldn't defend, but we were always scoring goals. And you look at the lack of goals, Emery, and I know that's as Tanya, do not interrupt me when I say this name. I know you like to go crazy every time I say Emery, yeah?
I do, yeah.
But Emery, he's a bum. I'm not accepting this revisionist history on Emery, yeah? He's very lucky to be in the semi-final. Good luck to him. Well done. He's a cup manager. They're seventh in La Liga, yeah? So at the time of Emery leaving, when we sacked him, we went 10 up. We went 10 games without a win. Lucas Torreira playing number 10. Yeah, but still, that's the thing. That's the point I'm making. Emery should have been sacked at the time.
Definitely.
But the point is, Emery has had a much shorter rope than Arteta has as well. Mm-hmm. Arteta is very lucky to still be in a job right now. And the failure, no other manager has lost three times in a row twice in a season.
Since in the history. 85.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we've done that twice
you
this season.
You just have to ask yourself, look, if it was Spurs, we would have sacked him. If it was Man exactly. United, they would have sacked him, right? And
what, I've already told you why he hasn't been sacked.
Yeah, exactly. But what has Arteta shown to make you think he's the man?
But I've already told you why he hasn't been sacked. Because Project started again.
Yeah, but still, like, statistically, like, even just going on stats.
I hear what you're saying. Like, I'm not even trying to defend him. I'm not.
Yeah,
I mean, at the beginning of the season, I was Arteta out. So, not much has changed. But what I'm trying to tell you is, like...
So, you're not Arteta out?
No. I'm still, look at the position that we're in. What I'm trying to say is that the project changed halfway through, which is why he's been given this extra leeway. That's it.
But still, like, you think about it as we have to, like, all of this stuff, every single time we lose, yeah, there's a new interview or like a new tweet coming out saying culture change or something like that.
What is that all about? So, he's not changed nothing. No
when
culture.
When Klopp came to Liverpool, he said the way you change a culture is by winning, yeah? So stop all of this extra chat about, because a couple of weeks ago when we were winning, there was articles coming out on Arsenal website saying how Arteta changed the club culture. So now we need to change the culture because we need to find a new... Like, it's the culture's fault now. Not every single every single day I see a new way of people bending over backwards, yeah, to protect Arteta from his tactics and his players,
I've
yeah?
Never seen and just the last thing, yeah?
The last thing, yeah? What I hate the most, the argument I've been seeing a lot online is people saying... Oh, the target at the start of season was never top four.
Yeah, that.
Let me give you an analogy, yeah? Junior and Mark. And Tanya as well. All right.
Yeah,
so if I see you guys, yeah, on the street, and then I say to you, hey, you're my friend, I give you 100 million. And I give you a briefcase full of 100 million, and I give it to you. And then you go home and you forget it on the train. And then you've lost the money. And then are you telling me you're not going to feel regretful?
Of course.
Because you didn't expect to have it in the first place. This is exactly what the arguments that people are saying. It's so stupid.
No.
Round of applause for that.
Can I ask, are you finished?
Yeah, go on.
Can I ask, no, I wasn't even saying it like that. I was.
You should have said it like that.
That was actually well said from you. But,
it was.
I just don't know, because I'm not ruling you out in the Champions League race.
I am.
Junior's ruled it out completely.
I'm not sure where you're at with that. No. To be honest, I've said it since the beginning, start of the season.
You've said it for a while, but what I'm not saying here is I'm ruling you out, but does West Ham's run in the Europa League, and in my opinion, in the past 3 or 4 years, there's been a slight culture shift in the way people view the Europa League. Does that finishing fifth or sixth, would you be excited for a European campaign next season, even if it's outside of the Champions League?
If you're Arsenal, no.
I think you're asking the wrong person, because personally, I've never been a European
fan. I hear that, but like I said, I feel like personally the culture around that competition has just changed slightly for the better. It's not progress. Yeah. Not saying it's progress.
Because you've been in Europa League many times, isn't it?
It's the second best case that you can hope for at the moment this season. Obviously, first best being Champions
League. Obviously, I'd rather be in Europe than not, because at the end of the day, like,
it's
good for your young players. And like,
Ham and how they've navigated their way through that. And I think in particular, when you start to hit the knockout rounds in the Europa League, it gets really exciting.
But honestly, since we've been in the Europa League, three times we've been at the stage that West Ham are. And one further as well. So it's not anything new for us. But regardless of what people think, they can lie to themselves and say Champions League was not target. Champions League is the target because you don't spend this amount of money for Europa.
Of course, listen, you Champions League was the when you were
who drops 50 million on a centre back to get into Europa?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, man.
This season was the opportunity with no European football. Yeah. It's what kickstarted our era when we first made Champions League. We weren't in any European competition and we haven't left it since.
Wow. But on your point though, like you said, Junior ruled it out. Yeah. The reason I don't believe, like I said, Tottenham, it looked like is a blip. And I don't know. I don't think Man United are a serious enough team to get there. But Arsenal, the reason I say it is because I genuinely don't think right now we have a capability of winning games.
We don't have the facilities.
So, obviously, like I talk about the centre midfield, we look like we can't win duels in, and any goal any chance we concede, it looks like we're going to give away a goal, and then we don't have enough
I'm just conscious of time.
No, but I'm just saying, just finish that off. We don't have enough ways to win games. We have to be playing perfectly in it. Okay, so,
cool. Well, I'm saying I think you'll beat Chelsea. I know, call me crazy. But I just think it's written in the stars for you to lose. Okay. And that's my concern.
But you're crazy.
Yeah,
he said, call me crazy, you're crazy.
No, Tanya.
I've seen you guys beat them 3-0 when you were terrible going into
that was
game.
At home.
I don't care.
Sorry, that's not happening.
I don't trust Chelsea.
And that was Frank Lampard.
Because Chelsea, if it was us, I'd be like, cool, that's a guaranteed cool.
Nil. We'll revisit this next Tuesday. We'll revisit this conversation.
Cool. There was a question sent in to us. Genuine thoughts on Lacazette's Champions League comments.
How
this guy is a bomb. Oh my days.
When I heard that, and I saw I missed the Champions League, I'm like, missed the Champions League because of you.
Yeah, you're the reason we're not in the Champions League.
Oh my God.
Like, my guy hasn't scored in 20 hours. 20 hours. You're a striker. You haven't scored in 20 hours and you want to complain about the Champions League.
What is it with your, like, he's your club captain at the moment.
I know.
Yeah,
it's
what is going on?
Well, why would he even feel comfortable?
To answer for Abdi, go ask Arteta why he feels comfortable.
Every time I just look at Lacazette, the anger comes back.
Did you see Arteta's comments on it?
Yeah, what did he say?
We have to support him and all the nonsense that he continues says. Yeah, like, watching an Arteta press conference is the most pointless thing ever. You're not going to get anything interesting out of him.
It's just we have to see.
Man, shut up, man. Why can't you see that we're rubbish on the pitch, bro?
In the last week, we've had both of our number nines who are leaving say that.
Bye.
Yeah, literally. So,
but in January, we're only bringing in the best, bro. Man.
Anyway.
Don't get me started, man. But yeah, someone should have called him up and said, you better come to my house.
It's when he said he's talking to other clubs.
Clubs? Yeah. Make sure that in January, the only club you don't talk to is Arsenal. In June, I mean, sorry.
In January, all right. Wait, where are Leon in the league?
I don't care.
8th or 9th.
Well, that's his level, isn't it? 8th or 9th in Ligue 1.
Because I was going to say, like, if he's going to go back to Leon or something, where's he going to get Champions League from? Who's offering him Champions League?
Who are these clubs?
You know Bednarek has more non-penalty goals than him. That's even, a rubbish Southampton centre-back has more goals than a Champions League desire. Man, be quiet.
Bednarek probably has more shots on goal than...
I'll slap him in his bald head, man. Be quiet.
All right, so...
It comes to something when I want Nketiah to start, man.
Then now we've been led on to the next game, which was Man United, and step in, Mr. Sue. Scored a hat trick.
I feel sorry for him with what's happened.
Oh, yeah. That is horrible. Yeah,
that is
horrible.
Very, very sad news.
No one deserves anything like that.
Absolutely
but
not.
Footballing reasons, I'm so annoyed that, of course, when they need him and when everyone drops points, there steps in Ronaldo. Mm.
Was that
Tim Krul in goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
The free kick needs to be investigated. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he got a hand to it. Oh.
You see Ronaldo go to Alanga. Come join me in the Sioux.
Yeah,
I can't even lie. Listen, as a United hater, I actually enjoyed that watching that. I'm going to be real.
If I'm Alanga, I'm like, bruv, your time's over. It's me. No. Don't tell me join your Sioux. Do my celebration.
How annoying is it, man? Man United were 2-0 up and Norwich came back to 2-2 only for Ronaldo to go score a free kick again, man.
Be honest,
the two times
the guy who scored, the guy who assisted Pookie and scored the goal, have any of you heard of him before this game?
Who is it, Norman?
I don't know.
I can't remember the name. Howell? Howell or something?
Oh, is it Dow?
Dow?
You beat me. Don't look at me in it. So I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Dow.
Yeah, these teams, like last week I talked about, they have a player called Lise Malou who definitely wasn't a professional footballer the week before he scored, they have a player called Placenta. And it's just like, this is all made up. And
Master League.
Bro, yeah, exactly. Isn't it? Yeah, they just bring out players from like, I don't know. It's if those fake names on Pro, innit?
And so. I'm sorry. And this is why I've never said Man United are completely out of it.
They right? have a match winner, innit?
Because they've got Ronaldo and they're 3 points off us.
No, Man United have to face Liverpool, Arsenal and Chelsea next.
In the next 9 days.
You can't say they're going to lose. Definitely guaranteed to
no,
lose.
No, they'll beat Arsenal,
games.
But they've got mad injuries and...
Liverpool slap them up, which I hope they do tonight.
Yeah. But they'll lose to Chelsea.
I watched a compilation. I watched a quick compilation of Bruno's highlights.
I'm sorry. Before we go... Chelsea to you are punching bags, isn't it? Because Arsenal are going to beat them. Man United are going to beat them.
I just think a lot
Chelsea
of
are third in the league, you know?
The thing is that if you were playing Chelsea tomorrow, you'd be saying Chelsea are going to bat
us. Yeah, I would be saying that. Because they always beat us.
So where is this energy that Chelsea are like going to get bad by
You think
Man
they
United
just scam their way to third place, isn't it? It's just given to them by default.
They never win. Yeah. Every week, they never win, but they're in
first. I think they're just going to beat Chelsea. I think Norwich are going to beat Chelsea. Everyone's going to beat Chelsea.
We've written off Man United, and I'm just not quite there.
Okay, that's fair, but what in the world has possessed you to believe that they're going to beat Chelsea?
No, I'm not saying they'll definitely beat them, but I'm just saying it's a possibility. Tanya. People just assume, right? Oh, like our fans are annoying me. Oh, yeah, Chelsea. Arsenal aren't going to beat Chelsea. But what if they do? What if Man United beat Liverpool tonight?
We're just Man assuming... United beat Norwich, yeah? Because of Ronaldo. It's Norwich, bottom of the league, yeah? And they blew a 2-0 lead as
football
well.
Football is a very strange game.
It is a very strange game.
But I don't think...
That they can out of nowhere just find form. And
but
like
I can't see Tuchel losing to Arsenal and Man United in one week.
And also, logically... The team who is better than a team that is better than another one, most of the time they beat them. So so that's just, we're going by logic, innit? 99 times out of 100.
That applies to Spurs, though.
Yeah. But also, let's talk about Pogba being booed. It's very. This is what's interesting, yeah. So Maguire gets booed, and there's articles written about it, and everyone comes out in defence. Pogba's booed by his own fans, and where's the defence at?
And they just won a game.
Where are the articles?
They just won a game.
Why is Pogba so... Like, why is he targeted so much? Even by his own fans, I don't understand.
I was talking to Kojo from Free in Midfield on Instagram, yeah? And I said to him, I was like, I just can't wait for the day Pogba leaves, yeah? And then, bro, he needs to call up the Breakfast Club. He needs to call up... go in GMB and then just let the team go, bruv. Start firing shots at everyone.
GMB,
one by one, everyone. Let the team go. Say, firstly, call out individual fans, yeah? Barry and John and all these in the Stretford end, yeah? You prick. All of these, one by one, start going at him. And then he has to talk about how the fact that he has, for his entire time at Man United, he's not been protected at all.
But this is what I don't understand. Pogba, he has a history of Man United. He was in their youth system.
He's a Man United fan.
Maguire was bought from three or four years ago.
Oh, Sheffield.
What makes you defend someone so vehemently?
Can I ask you guys a question? Do you guys honestly believe that Pogba will be better in a different team?
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course.
1,000,000%.
This is a team that has not had a functioning midfield since he's been there.
Man United are just vibes. It's just Ronaldo.
Yeah.
But and also, like, he's a guy who they want him, like, they want him to defend like Kante and attack like Kevin De Bruyne. It doesn't make sense. Like, you're going to get the best player in the history of football if you want that all the time. Like,
when he was at Juve, he was outrageously good. Like,
he's playing as that left of a diamond. He had the freedom to go forward. He did the box to box midfielder element, and then now he's come to Man United. Man United have not been functional since Fergie's left. And you just expect, and the unreal expectations. But then it's the what annoys me the most is that no one has been scrutinized off the field more than him. They blame him for what his agent says. They say he disrespected the club. Yeah. All of this out of the other.
Man can't do anything on social media because it is brought up and says he's unprofessional. He can't get a haircut.
He leaves, the better.
He deserves so much better. But I'm not even criticizing. He's underperformed. He's been a poor signing for Man United because when you think he's been a record signing, isn't it?
So
no one gets that level of criticism. Bruv, just look at the guy who plays ahead of him, innit?
But you know what I saw yesterday? Obviously, it's not true. That links to Man City. Can you imagine that?
I can't see that.
I couldn't see that happening. I do think he deserves. He would thrive. He'd thrive. Let's be honest. He'd thrive at most top clubs. Yeah. There's no structure at United that allows a player like him.
It's true.
Who's so good at football to thrive in the middle of the park like he did at Juve.
How he does in France.
How he does for
exactly.
France.
And it's just, that's the perfect example. He's won a World Cup by balling out whilst he's at Man United, and they're saying he's not been, he's the problem. It's just, like I said, if he leaves, there needs to be some serious words at Man United and his treatment. And I feel like the booing has been a direct response from the Man United players and the media. Gary
you
Neville,
know what? You should have told
Roy
them,
Keane,
right?
All of these
you
guys.
Who, Man United
well, exactly, yeah. Well, I
you
mean.
You should have done a mark and said boo again. That's what they should have
done. That's what he said.
That
yeah,
wasn't
he
even
did
me.
Though.
That was an honoree. No. I stole
but he,
it.
But he did. Yeah, he cocked his ear at them, but he should have done that.
Good.
But he should have done worse. What? He should have backed the thing out and say, here, suck on that, bruv. That's what you should have done.
What was a PG?
No, I would have mooned them, bro. I would have mooned them. That's what I would have done.
Anyway, we got a question here.
We've got a lot of questions this week.
Yeah.
We got the listeners.
It's Mark on all these different accounts.
We don't mess about, man.
No. We've been sent a lot of questions. I'm trying to get through all of them in a way that makes sense. We've got one about Erik ten Hag. They're asking about his impact on United. So obviously, we've kind of discussed it. How he's not going to be the be all end all of like answers for Man United, how he's not going to come in and Mary Poppins the situation. But let's give genuine thoughts on what we think that Ten Hag will bring to Man United. I think he's going to come in and he's going to change the style of football. They're actually going to have an identity of how to play because that's evident with how he gets
his
eye.
He needs to clear out the players, though.
He does need to clear out the players. And how long... I think Man United fans are a bit deluded that it's going to be next season. They're going to be challenging for things. But I think it's still going to take 3 or 4 years, like clearing out the trash and bringing in players that will suit...
He doesn't want
Ronaldo, apparently. Which is...
That's the thing, I think... The fact that he's now actually, it's official, because I know he was concerned that he wasn't going to get the backing. So maybe the owners actually have sat him down and said, we're going to allow you to literally just rip
but
this whole team
apart. I think you got to remember, when Pep came into City, and I'm not comparing Joe Hart to Ronaldo, but it was a big surprise when he came in and said, you know what, that's not the profile of keeper I want.
Yeah.
Off he goes, I'm bringing in Edison in, and he's going to be my number one. And I think they have to give, like
yeah,
you were saying, Tanya,
yeah.
They have to give him the chance to do exactly what he wants with that squad. Yeah, otherwise, it's not going to work.
Pointless. That's been the issue with Man United, is that they've got every single manager has a mix match of different type of players from different managers' preferences. So, like, you've got 5 from Moyes, you've got 4 from Mourinho, you've got 3 from Van Gaal and Ollie. So, you never have a functional
did
squad.
Did you make that up, or did you actually count it up before you
No, I'm just saying, just named the managers. So, yeah, you know me. I just come here... I could freestyle a whole album. You know about me. But on Junior's point, the question you asked, Ten Hag is obviously going to bring more structure. He's going to be more of a. They're going to be more of a sensible team, like I said. But you're coming into the Barclays where it's a dogfight, man.
Yeah,
you've
that's
got
my only concern.
Exactly.
Undisputed 4 world class managers: Klopp, Pep, Tuchel, Conte. So to get
and
above all of that,
Emery.
To get
come on, you talk. Let's not
to get above all of that. He's going to have to do a lot, and especially with just the way it is at Man United. Yeah. So it's more about the recruitment. I feel like if he goes and brings a lot of his good players from Ajax, it might be a good thing for Man United. But we'll see, innit? Hopefully they fail. And
chance for a Van der Beek revival? Or
I'd say so. Like,
has that
ship arrived under...
he's still
like, he
turned 25 the other day. He's young.
Yeah.
Just should be entering
and
prime
we've
now.
We've all said he's the profile player that Man United need.
Yeah.
Late runs into the box, technical, very
it's going to be a big job for Ten Hag because there's so many players out of contract and there's so many players who are on the way out.
Yeah, but you
but I just well. Worry about, because I just think Man United, their fans, as much as you say, oh, they've got to give him time, they will put so much pressure on this
to be
guy.
Honest, I never said that they need to give him time. Where, I said that it's going to take 3 or 4 years, whether they like it or
fans
not.
Fans don't. Their fans are so impatient. It is unbelievable.
That's what happens when you grow
up
seeing...
football fans now.
No, but that's what... What happens when you grow up seeing your team win the league every season?
Of course, like, yeah.
Man City fans growing up now, in a few years' time, like let's say Pep's moved on and Man City aren't doing what Pep's doing now, they're going
to
be so impatient as
to
well.
To be honest, I think Man United, it's just their recruitment, really, because they'll spend the money. They can actually compete with the likes of City. Let's be honest, they can, because they've spent shitloads of money.
Yeah,
this
is a disastrous season for Man United, considering before the beginning of the season when everyone said they should be challenging, considering the summer they had, they brought in some good players. So, but yeah, like I said, hopefully they fail.
Yeah, same. Hope it all goes all to
right. Watford versus Brentford. So Watford will be kicking themselves because they had a chance to go 2-1 up just minutes before Brentford.
The commentary was amazing. The woman was like, "Loser, loser, loser." His name is Loser, isn't it? Yeah. Loser, loser, loser. Yeah, you are a loser because you missed from a centimeter, bro.
Yeah, but it was crazy.
Ericsson, man, again, another perfect
balling
delivery, innit?
We've got the next. I'm so scared.
Oh, it's at Brentford Stadium, innit?
Yeah.
Yes. Ivan Tony let the thing go, bro.
Mate, Ericsson's gonna have a masterclass. You see it now. Tony as well.
Yeah. Brentford, they continue their really good form. That's curtains for Watford. I know it was before, but there's no doubt about it.
I think
it
Brentford are definitely safe, but there's no conversation going down, is there?
And I thought they were like one of the horrible form before,
they
and
were.
I was like,
they were. They've got 39 points.
Yeah, they're done, bro. Yeah. That's safe.
One more point, and they're on the magic 40 mark.
Yeah, so they're good. Mm. But Watford, I think that's curtains, and it's the first relegation of Roy Hodgson's career in the Premier League. So
and listen, he knew when he took that job on, he knew there was a large chance that was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watford were a shambles before, but yeah, let's have Emmanuel Dennis just for time. Oh, he scored another goal, didn't he? Good finish. Newcastle versus Leicester. Bruno Guimarães with two goals.
Oh man, this signing!
Are we calling him the real Bruno now?
Well, the real Bruno, please stand up.
The only Bruno.
The only Bruno.
How much did they pay for him?
30 rising to 40, but he's probably gonna it's gonna rise to 40 because of the performance he's already in it. Another one's got more goals than Lacazette. he's a deep midfielder who joined in January.
That's three, and one with a back heel.
What like, Schmeichel can't even score with like goal,
facing the goal. He's scoring facing the other way.
Yeah,
Schmeichel's a bit suspect, at times.
That was a bit suspect.
I mean, this season he hasn't had the protection in terms of defense and stuff like that. But yeah, he's making mistakes. But listen, Eddie Howe, come in, change the spirit at Newcastle.
Got 100 million investment in Jando, so.
Do you know what?
That could have gone wrong.
I take it back, right? I'm worried about Newcastle.
Oh, now you're worried about Newcastle.
No, I am, because I just think you have to look at the business they've done in January. Imagine the summer when that comes along. And someone like Bruno, he didn't have to come to Newcastle. Let's be real. Like, he didn't have to. He's a good player. And
do you know Newcastle should get?
Money.
Because they need a striker, innit?
Like, is that?
No.
I think they might get Tony.
Well, Tony's the one they've been linked with, and I've apparently they've been snubbed by Nunes. But Lukaku. I think Lukaku would be a good signing for them.
Are you being serious? The silence is deafening.
There's no one, listen, he's probably not going to be at Chelsea next season. Who knows? But I mean, the level of money Chelsea spent on him, so they're going to probably want to get some return on the investment. Who's going to pay that amount of money? And Lukaku's a proven Premier League goal scorer.
He's
pushing 29 now. It's not as if at the end of his career he wants to take a humongous step down. In terms of money, it'd be a step
Tony,
up. But
to be honest, I would pick Tony over Lukaku.
So we've missed out on Tony.
The worst thing is that Tony was in their academy, bruv.
Yeah.
Ah. You know, Newcastle have put 5 home wins on a spin in the league now, and if they make it 6, I think they've got. I can't remember who their next game is. It would be the most wins consecutively in the league for them in about 50 years. Bruno? So, I mean, we were praising Eddie Howe last week and the week before, but you've got to give him credit.
So he definitely keeps his job then?
Of course he does. You can't.
I'm not going to fire him now.
They were relegation favourites before he came in.
No, it's true. He deserves the opportunity. They had
0 wins. Now you're talking about 5 wins at home on the bounce. Just watch when Bruno G puts it in the top corner last minute against Arsenal.
No, you're beating Newcastle.
You don't need to add the G. We've worked out who the Bruno is in this conversation.
I apologise, Mark, for my
poor behaviour.
And the
real G too. He's the real G.
All right, so let's talk about West Ham. Just real quickly, before we talk about their game with Burnley, there were two questions that...
Related to West Ham.
Yeah. Sorry, Tans.
you are a generational hater. You hate everyone.
What? I hate them because they hate us. Do you know, I never used to hate West Ham, but ever since they're like, oh, we're a bigger club than Spurs, two-foot club, I hate them. You can't chat to us, mate.
Listen, the only thing I would say is don't judge a fan base off of what you see on social media.
No, I know. But
if that's the case, then, well, I mean, they are, but Tottenham are the worst club in the world. So.
It's like
every single fan base has stupid fans on Twitter.
Yeah.
Ours on this table are more than most.
Everyone. Trust me, everyone.
I hate our fans.
West Ham
on
fans
Twitter.
Are like that.
I hate me sometimes.
I hate me for supporting Arsenal.
Let's listen to that. West Ham. All right,
so they're kind of relevant. Okay, there's no blown bubbles in here, but it's kind of relevant. How impressive has West Ham's Europa League run been? And can they replicate it next season if they were to get into the Europa League? And then the British success in the Europa League, which I mean, I think is alluding to West Ham making it to
one
the semi-final.
One thing I'll say is this, right?
And Rangers.
If West Ham...
Leicester is in the Europa Conference League.
If West Ham win that Europa League, they are miles ahead of Spurs.
And they're miles...
Straight away.
Well, they would have won more European trophies than Arsenal as well.
You know,
they're miles ahead in terms of the players they'll be able to attract. They'll get Champions League football.
That's true.
Pot one, they'll be seeded.
There's a winning mentality.
They'll be seeded.
Yeah, they'll
it's
be
crazy.
Seeded. There's a winning mentality there. Let me pour some
that would be devastating. Water over the fire, yeah? You guys need to calm down, yeah?
Darwin Núñez.
They
at
could
the
win it.
They don't have one fit centre-back right now.
Sorry.
Yeah? So, going back to your question, it's been super impressive because they finished top of their group easily. Amazing. They beat Sevilla and then they beat Lyon.
Comfortable.
Everyone was thinking like, all right, West Ham aren't going to win.
And the final
was
in Sevilla as well. This was a big campaign for Sevilla. Yeah.
So, and you look at like Sevilla, Serie A winners, just call it the Sevilla league, whatever. But generally, like West Ham, they've shown a propensity to not play well and win.
Nice propensity. I like that word.
Come on, man.
Please, mad proud.
You got a bit bashful there.
It's just the vibes, isn't it? But obviously, I feel like it'd probably be who they're playing now. Frankfurt.
Frankfurt. Yeah.
So yeah, they could easily get to the final. But I do think this lack of centre backs now, having three centre backs, three of their top, well, decent level at least, centre backs out for the rest of the season. Is going to come
but
back.
But even as an Arsenal fan, if they look, you don't think they're going to win. But if they win it, are you not worried what that could do for them as a club?
Not really.
You're not worried.
No. I'm worried about my team first.
Yeah, I can't be worried about West Ham when my team has a lot of issues that need to be sorted out.
I do think
Leipzig are going to win the Europa League though.
If you had to pick one of the four left, it would be Leipzig. But I tell you what, I would love to see a
West Ham
Rangers
final. Rangers had a great week. They beat Celtic in the Scottish semi-final.
We don't
want to
see that, Mark. We don't want to see that.
Trust
me.
Honestly, those fan base.
Exactly. Rangers, the only reason is the fans are mad.
They're super passionate.
The atmosphere is nothing. I watched the Rangers versus Celtic.
I would not watch that final.
Bro, my TV was vibrating, bro. Like, it's the atmosphere. That's the one game I want to go to, like a Glasgow derby. Yeah, just the fans are crazy,
seriously,
isn't it?
Yes.
And every single time Rangers have been scoring this Europa League, that camera that pans across, that is sick. It's just lovely watching that.
All right, let's get back to the game. So Burnley, for the first time in the Premier League, without Sean Dyche as manager.
Crazy.
I'm going to miss him, you know. I feel like he is Premier League.
That's Abdi's boy, man.
Well, no.
That's genuinely Abdi's boy.
Whoa, you come on here.
I've never criticised Sean Dyche.
You've been wanting Burnley to go relegated, you've stood outside turf more with Abdi saying they should be relegated.
No, I want them relegated, but I don't have anything. This is about Sean Dyche. I like Sean Dyche. I think he's a good manager, speaks very well. Come on, you're not going to miss it.
Speaks very well.
Are you not going to miss it?
No.
Yeah, after the game.
No.
Yeah.
This guy has had...
I think we got good blood.
He sounds like he's had COVID for 10 years. No, let me just say, all of this, because it's a crazy decision to sack him, especially when they're relegated. Everyone just come in with the loving for Sean Dyche, yeah? Let's not get away from it. Sean Dyche is a piece of shit, yeah? He is. For years, they played terrible football. He's moaned about everything. This guy, he went on a training pitch and ate a worm off the ground. Sean Dyche is not, I don't care. And he's the reason Burnley are still in the Premier League, yeah? Burnley as a club, I hate them. I want them to get relegated, yeah? And Sean Dyche was just the icing on the cake. So him losing his job and them getting relegated, perfecto.
Perfecto.
No, Burnley have lost whatever chance they had of staying in the Premier League.
They missed a pen at 0-0 as well.
Yeah.
That was in 1-0.
That was such a bad pen, isn't it?
I can see him getting a good job, though.
Style of football.
Someone in the Prem next season, halfway through the season, sack a manager.
Let's be real.
Who are we bringing in?
Sean Dyche. He's the new Sam Allardyce.
That's not a good thing.
Lampard, see you later. Give Dyche the job. Yep.
They'd take it, but Everton have to survive first, didn't it? I saw a tweet though that said if Burnley bring in Benitez and he relegates Everton, that is premium Barclays, man. That is premium Barclays.
All right. That's it.
Poor Ashley Westwood, don't.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, you got a feel for him, man. That was...
Vlasic was crying as well.
That was horrible. I mean, I didn't see it live, but I saw a still picture of it.
His ankle was literally the other way.
It was horrible.
No, I don't like stuff like that. Oh, God.
Yeah. We wish him well and a speedy recovery. Hope to see you soon. I don't know. Yeah. Hope to see you soon. Okay. We've got another last question here. If I haven't missed anyone, I apologise if I have. But... thoughts on the rumours, plans to have halftime interviews with managers?
Absolutely pointless and ridiculous.
It's absolutely nonsensical.
It's just, why would they have an interview?
Talk to the players, bro.
And you know what, apparently it's, only, for half-time sport. It's only if they're winning as well. Apparently. That's nonsense. That's what I read, yeah.
So they don't have to have a team talk if they're winning.
Exactly, as in, the game is won. Do you get one? Do you get points?
So
can you imagine like a Klopp or a Tuchel are the two that come to mind because they're quite fiery sometimes, or can
I would
be.
Love a Klopp one.
Can be, it? But even I just you just know that the last thing they want to be doing at our moment in time,
you know,
and
what
some of the questions they'll get asked, let's be honest, will be so stupid.
Well, they need a piss as well.
Is that the first thing you thought?
No, I'm just saying, it's so inconvenient and it's so stupid from the media companies.
I think it's the worst possible.
What questions are they going
to
ask?
Like, we're trying to turn football into a flipping.
I know, like
love
some Netflix,
like,
bro.
Some
yeah.
Do you know what? They're trying to ruin football. So this is an awful idea. The idea about having what's it called? Historic places in the Champions League.
Legacy.
Having a legacy place in the Champions League, that's an awful idea.
Hey, if we get I'm all for it.
Having the World Cup every 2 years is an awful idea.
Yeah.
Like, what are these guys trying to do?
Who, like, when people are thinking about how to, I don't know, what's the word? How to just, like, improve the game, yeah? Whoever thought, said, let's chat to the manager at halftime, like, it was a good idea.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Halftime is a time where you chat to your players, you know, it's how you approach the second half. You could be winning, but still be lucky to be
and
in the
also,
lead.
And you're trying to thumped. The manager does not want to talk about
exactly.
half time.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Oh.
Like, I would be swearing at the interviewer. Mate, it's like, piss off, man.
I can see that happening.
It's like, there's so many ridiculous ideas just to like.
It just feels like the people, the governing bodies, and the people who come up with these ideas are just so out of touch.
Yeah,
they just don't have a clue. Mm.
So let's have a round of applause. Because this time last year, the Super League was announced and everyone was going crazy. But
bring
the death of the Super League. No.
Bring back the Super League. I need that $350 million a year.
Oh, and also on this day, we sacked Jose Mourinho. So please for that one.
It's more this one.
Hey.
It looks like Erling Haaland's gone to Man City.
On this day, Ryan Mason was your manager.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? To be fair, that was not a good decision. Yeah.
Cup final, let's sack a manager who wins.
Erling Haaland looks like he's on his way to Man City. So that's
it's
the
one. Fair,
so
that's
again,
the league wrapped up for another
again,
10 years.
The Premier League's wrapped up yet again.
If they sign Haaland, If they sign Haaland, yeah. I'm going to start wanting Liverpool to win the league.
They are,
it's just ridiculous.
Them, so.
It's, no, I mean, like, when they
just
do.
Just get your Liverpool shirt now, then.
Pep, you've got 3 months of
to be
me
honest,
backing you. For the last, that's it.
Let's
done.
Just say he's going to be a flop. I'm going to say it.
Who, Haaland?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't want
impossible.
Him to be a flop because I like the player, but I'm hoping he is because I don't want Man City to
that's
play.
That's what I'm hoping. He'll be a flop.
I'm not going to lie.
Boom.
The profile of player
Bundesliga
he is.
Bundesliga tax.
I can see that hit. Nah. This guy is
lethal. I mean, he's done it in the Champions League.
This guy is lethal.
That tax, he's got a good accountant.
Listen, yeah, he ain't come up against Burnley,
bro.
That's all I'm
all
saying.
All right, bro. Oh, yeah, Haaland versus Ben Mee. Wow, in Ben Mee's pocket.
What is happening? Order to end the podcast. We'll go with man of the week.
Oh God, I don't
know.
So Son won.
Did he?
Yeah, actually, like 64%.
Oh, of
votes.
Course, yes, hat trick. Yeah, I was thinking, what did he do last week? I forgot. Anyway.
So
drops one stinker and Tans forgets about the whole one. Forgets about the hatchet.
I forget.
So I'm going to give my man of the week to.
Oh, let me
this
guess.
Is me thinking. You know what? I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to go with Bruno Gangster.
Good shout.
For doing the business in the Premier League and making Arteta and Edu really regret their lives, and I hope that they sort out. Like their lives and leave and we can live a happy ever after. So shout out Bruno.
Really
wonderful
no,
wonderful
I'm gonna
gentleman.
Go because I'm not going to go for the obvious evil because I don't really care about order.
So the order.
No, because Bissouma. I'm telling you, this midfielder is special, and I could honestly see him at a City or a Liverpool. Like, he's at that level for me. I think he's top draw, and he just
He's got a case pending though, so I'll wait.
That's the only thing. And I think a lot of clubs are waiting on that. That's the only thing. But I'm giving it to Bissouma. I just rate him so highly.
I'm going to jump in quickly before Abdi does.
It's your turn, actually.
I know. Italian didn't take mine anyway. Pretty obvious this week, but it's going to Mane for me.
Oh, why? Okay.
Obviously, the double, but all-round performance. Starts up top again tonight. Sadio Mane for me.
Okay. I didn't expect it to come to me.
Three people have gone and there's one person left.
No, but I didn't expect Ronaldo to still be available after he's got a hat-trick.
Yeah, but anyway.
It would be off-brand if I vote for Ronaldo. So I gotta give it to Nick Pope because he made some good saves.
Fair enough. You know what? That was mad random, but fair enough.
He made a fantastic save in the second half.
What's wrong with you, man?
Tanya's having fun, boy.
I swear, if you touch it again, you're...
I just don't know where that one comes from.
Your Wayne Rooney one bombed last week, though.
Really? No one voted for him? Hey, isn't it?
There was two votes.
One of them was me.
Okay, so we're going to catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That
There's
Later.
Nothing exciting about this trash, man. Don't listen anymore. Sports Social Podcast Network.